Welcome to Get Some D, where a chronically single 28-year-old, childless, straight gal,
and a 41-year-old, bisexual, married lady with two kids
talk about sex, dating, and relationships. Well, before we start, shout out to everyone. Oh no!
Oh my god. As soon as we start, I'm like, I could feel the sneeze just coming.
Bold season. That's very authentic.
Right. That's pretty on brand. Whoops.
Don't know. I'm going to pee. Okay, perfect. Yesterday, I sneezed and I peed a little.
Oh, yeah, dude. That starts to happen. You're a little young for that.
Yeah, I haven't had kids. It just happens.
But, I mean, it does just happen. But, yeah, it's not... I remember the first time that happened to me.
And please, have at her.
I was like, what fresh hell is this? Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I think I was like, it was after I had Calvin. So it was after I had my second kid. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, do I just die now? Like, I just pissed myself. I mean, it wasn't a lot. It was just like a little, not even enough to like really wet your underwears. Yeah. But like... it was enough that, like, I knew.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all downhill from there.
Perfect.
Physically, it's all downhill from there. But mentally, like, shit only gets better.
There you go.
Yeah.
Silver lining. I will say, go to pelvic floor physio, and that's also a reminder for me to get my ass there. Because if you're peeing your pants while you're sneezing, yes, women do it. Yeah. However, there's help for that.
Does it happen to men?
Yeah, men can have some problems with that as well. Like in the gym, there's obviously like a big issue with women. Not issue, but people are very, very self-conscious of it. But like running, skipping, jumping, lifting super heavy, women have some issues, especially after having kids with peeing and some without even having kids.
Yeah.
Just because your pelvic floor has issues due to different things. But yeah, some men do have problems, especially with running and a lot of pounding, but it's just not as common. But I mean, it might even be worse for them because like the women are like open and joking about it in the class. Once they get to know each other, they're like, I gotta go pee, so I don't pee myself and stuff like that. Where I think the men probably feel isolated if that's their case, because they're like, they probably think, oh, it shouldn't happen to us. I don't know.
You think so? Yeah, I don't know. I've just never heard any men talk about it. Yeah. I tend to ask Stu all the time, like, is this normal? Like, does this happen? I don't have a penis, so like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So he's usually my go-to guy. I'll ask him later.
Yeah.
Like, Stuart, what's up? Do you ever pee a little?
Like, you don't mean to. Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to kick off today. And I need to say before we get going, this is absolutely not medical advice because Cass and I are just speaking from experience.
Yeah.
We are not giving you any advice. Please talk to your doctor and healthcare providers.
Absolutely. I am not a therapist. I am not a doctor of any kind. So if you go to your friend, you're like, I heard on this podcast, like,
nope.
I don't want to be held responsible for this craziness.
Yeah.
All right.
You cannot sue us. We are telling you right now, this is informational purposes.
Yes.
And thank you to everyone who's listened so far.
Yes. Thanks for sticking with us. We have new mics.
We got new mics.
So hopefully this sounds better. I think it sounded better.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always think we sound bad when we hear our own voices.
Mm-hmm. What is that called? There's like definitely a word for that. You're breathing into the mic now.
I read a whole article about it, actually. It's like, now I can't like regurgitate it out of my brain. But yeah, it is a thing.
Yeah.
That's hardwired into us. Into our brains that we don't like the sound of our own voices.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably just a sign that we need to listen more than we talk.
Well, we hear our voice differently than it's other people hear it because of the way it like sound travels and then bounces off things and then comes back. I don't know. I heard that.
Yeah.
I learned that when I was a kid, you know, when you're like learning about sound waves and stuff, about how sound and light and stuff works. Oh,
yours sounds more accurate than what I read.
But maybe that's light. You know how you see things because it like reflects and bounces off other things? There's something about sound and the way it like goes out and then you hear it. I have no idea. Again, I'm not an expert.
Not a scientist, but I'm going to like, you know what? I'm going to see if Neil deGrasse has anything on YouTube about this. Cause he is like, I love Neil deGrasse.
Who the hell is that?
Neil deGrasse?
If it's not Bill Nye the Science Guy, I don't know.
No, Neil deGrasse, I don't know if he's a scientist. I mean, probably, but he narrated this whole show called Cosmos.
Okay.
That it's so fascinating and the way he looks at the world. And, you know, he's just, he's so intelligent.
I Googled it. Why don't we like the sound of our own voice is probably due to a mix of physiology and psychology. For one, the sound from an audio recording is transmitted differently to your brain than the sound generated when you speak. I mean, that sounds kind of like what I was saying.
That sounds pretty good.
Am I a scientist? When listening to a recording of your voice, the sound travels through the air and into your ears. Ooh, it's referred to as air conduction.
Okay.
The sound energy vibrates the eardrum and small ear bones. Did you know that there's like a fucking lot of bones in your ear?
I did know that.
Yeah. These bones. This is a science podcast.
It's fine. Keep going.
These bones then transmit the sound to the cochlea. We used to learn that in school.
Cochlear? Cochlear?
No. Cochlea.
Cochlea?
No,
cochlea?
No, I think it's cochlea. I don't
know. Cochlea?
C-O-C-H-L-E-A.
All right.
Sure. Perfect. Which stimulates nerve axons then that send the auditory signal to the brain. This is a lot for a Monday morning.
We just lost everybody. So
honestly,
what's the psychological aspect? I want to know them a little, right?
This one just says, because your voice is unique and an important component of self-identity, the mismatch can be jarring. Anyways, it's on CNN.com.
If anybody cares to read that whole business.
Holy, we're right. Back.
You have a story for me?
Yeah, I got a story for you.
Or do we want to read our first ghost story? We're going to do ghost stories.
Read it.
Stories. So we're not going to name our friend who has so sweetly given us her ghost story. It's pretty short. So guy bought me Tevas. I fucked him. He did the taper off ghost. I love that there's a name for the taper off ghost. And she says, I think I came out on top though. No, $80 sandals. So what if I'm like, yeah, fucking right. You came out on top.
Hopefully she came on top as well.
I hope she came on top. Oh, I can or at myself all. Come on top like that. Fucking great. Put that dick right where I need it. Anyway, ghost stories. Okay, what's your, what happened? What's the dealio?
Well, once upon a time, I was on the dating apps. Shocker, right?
You don't say.
You don't say. And this guy was like, pretty much, I like it when they're like immediately like, let's go out for dinner or like, let's go for drinks or whatever, because I don't want to talk to you for a year.
I don't want to waste my fucking time chatting with you every damn day for an extended period of time.
Exactly. And so he was like, I really want to go to the keg. And I was like, fucking right. Let's go to the keg.
Yeah, man.
I'm down. And then the day of, he goes something. I can't remember if he said his dog died or his dog was super sick. And I'm like, okay, I am 99.9% fucking sure your dog did not just die right now. But for the 0.1%, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to feel like a bitch. So I just think I just said like, okay, or like whatever. I didn't like be like, you're fucking lying. Because what if his dog literally died?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, So a few days later, like he didn't say anything. And then, yeah, I can't remember if he said it died or it was sick. It doesn't really matter. But then I followed it up with like, hope you're okay. Or maybe it was hope your dog's okay. Just in case I was wrong.
Yeah.
And like, I just wanted to be a nice person, you know? He just didn't answer. So definitely kind of a ghost story. Right? And then I was like, all right, we never talk again. And then who strolls into the friggin', let's just say the bar, let's keep it broad, that I work at this damn weekend. We get tabs.
This weekend.
This weekend. Oh. This was got to have been like a year, 2, 3 years ago. Like, oh, this has God. Been a while.
Tell me you asked him about his fucking dog.
No, just listen. So we just I literally never like talked to him. I barely know what he looks like, right? Because it's just on friggin' an app. So you have five right. pictures of them from years ago. But we get people's names for tabs. He says his name and I'm like, oh, that is such a unique name. Odds it's the same guy. Like, it's gotta be him.
Right.
And I'm like, interesting. Anyways, he's being like flirty and funny. And I'm like, he actually is kind of hot. I wonder if it is him. So I look up the name. It's immediately the first thing that pops up because his name is so unique. I've never heard anyone else have it on Instagram. And it is him. So, of course, I'm like, for the pod, let me just message him. FTP for the pod. I'll do anything. Okay, so I message him. I said, I had a feeling that it maybe was you. You don't hear the name blank every day, LOL. And he goes, yeah, good memory. And I go, you were the one whose dog died, in quotes, LOL. And he goes, that was a damn good dog. And I go, this fucker totally lied to me. I knew it. So I message him, you made it up. Didn't yet. It's a good story. I tell people about it sometimes. Not the worst, though, because I have had worse. I'm just trying to have him admit that it was him, you know?
Right.
Trying to make it like, it's funny. So he would admit it. And he goes, I did. Still feel bad about it to this day. No, you fucking
no, don't. No, don't. You just feel bad that you got called out, you dumb fuck.
Yeah. And I said, in caps, what a dick, LOL. I said, we don't lie about dogs dying.
No. Grannies.
Yeah, right. I said, I literally just say, hey, I'm actually not feeling it. Sorry. He goes, yep, I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. And I just liked the message. But see you next Tuesday. Hope I don't see you next Tuesday. But how funny, like,
oh my God.
Caught him years later. Just had to call him out on it.
Good. Good for you.
But I was also like, I want to know why. What was the ad? What's the tea?
Yeah, man. If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. And that's fine.
But, like, there was nothing in between him asking me out and, you know, like, you were feeling it 2 seconds ago when you made the reservation. And then a couple hours later, you cancel it. I'm so confused. I'm like, maybe he, you know, was talking to someone else. Maybe he was like, I'm lazy. But my dog died is not where we go from there.
No, absolutely not. No, I draw a line. You can't, like, dogs, pets dying? No, that's a hard line. And you're, like, granny dying or some shit. Like, you can't just, like, cancel a date and say, like, my grandma died. And then, you know, like, your grandma's alive. Like, what the fuck? I gotta call your grandma. I gotta be like, do you know what your grandchild did? Right? Like,
right.
Awful. She would be so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
As you would your dog. I think you should tell your fucking dog what you did.
Oh God. One time someone bailed on me and said, I'm sorry, my dog just ate a lot of my weed and it's all fucking high and now I have to take care of it. And I'm like, oh my God. That one was actually true. Oh, like, you don't make up my dog was eating my weed, but it's just like, it's just my dog ate my homework vibes, you know? My dog died. My dog's sick. My dog ate my weed.
Oh my God. My cat, Peter, ate half a joint once. Yeah. Like, chirped it right off the nightstand. Ooh. And, like, just fucking, like, it was the best thing ever. He got so excited. He just ran over the nightstand. We couldn't even get it out of his mouth. He swallowed it before we could, like, you know, get on him. So he was high for probably about almost 2 days. And, like, literally, I rushed him. Like, so I literally broke several road rules. And I probably would have lost my license because I drove fucking across town like a mad person to, like, the emergency vet because I was like, oh, my God, my cat's still high. Like, what do I do? And they those sympathetic, they kind of laughed. They were like, yeah, we get this a lot. So apparently lots of animals love eating weed. Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. I mean, edibles are good. Yeah.
So I mean, like, edible joint,
right? If a dude is like, or, you know, a girl is like, oh, like my pet ate my weed, I'm probably gonna believe that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get it. My cat totally is like a little weed hound.
This guy should have just said that. Silly guy.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
And I can't wait to hear his name off air because You're like, it's so unique. I'm like, interesting, interesting.
You're gonna meet him, yeah. Okay, so, well, first of all, do you have any updates for me?
Not really. No.
No,
not really. I'm again, you know what? Once you get to a certain age, I'm gonna tell you, like, the thought of going out and, like, being out of my house for an entire weekend is, like, pure hell.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to leave. You know, like, I might want to leave for a few hours, meet some friends, go have dinner, but then I'm on lockdown for the rest of the weekend. Like, that's just it. Like, I don't want to think. I don't want to, you know, I want to lay on my couch. I want to eat those little mini coffee crisps and drink wine and just watch Friends reruns, because that's where I'm at now. And it's okay to be there. I think at first, like, when it started happening to me, I was a little bit, like, ashamed that I was like, oh no, like, I should be up and doing things and going places and stuff. But I really just don't fucking want to.
Yeah.
I don't. And, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no shame, people. If you don't want to go, you don't want to leave, you want to just chill, it's fine. Do not feel obligated to go out and do shit. It's overrated.
It is. Yesterday, I laid on the couch for, I mean, to be fair, I'm fighting a cold, so if my voice sounds like shit, that's why. Yesterday, I laid on the couch from, who knows, 8 a.m. to literally 2:30. We just watched Bachelor in Paradise, Canada. It's an old one, season 2. And just watched multiple episodes. It was amazing. And then I had to go to Hanukkah, which was nice, but getting up, I had to put makeup on. I didn't have to, but I looked so rough that I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't be meeting up with the fam looking like I'm about to die.
Your lot has looked really good on your story.
I ate so much food.
What is a latke?
Potatoes, oil, salt. Maybe there's other things, but pretty simple.
Yeah.
They went through they made 230 latkes and 22 pounds of potatoes.
How many people were there?
They're using them multiple days, but that's how many they made in one go. Then they froze them and stuff.
That's wild. That's a lot.
I probably ate eight for sure. Like, so they're little guys. They're like little baby ones.
You dip them in something?
So let me walk you through it. We had options, right? So there was the sweet version, which is applesauce. That's a standard. Then some more savory options. We got sour cream, just by itself is cool, or with something else. And then lox and cream cheese with friggin' capers. It was so good. I even put a cucumber on there. So it's kind of like a, you know, and you're like, lox and cream cheese bagel.
Yeah.
Oh, but on a latke, holy crap.
Yeah.
I felt truly Jewish in that moment.
Nice.
Yeah. It was great.
Getting down with the homies.
Getting down with my ancestors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy Hanukkah. This is going to come out late. So no one knows what Hanukkah is anyways, I feel. So it's okay.
I mean, like, I the very tiniest, like, I know there is Hanukkah.
Nice.
Yes.
Do you know how many days it is?
12?
Eight.
Eight.
Eight nights. Yeah.
Eight? Why do I think 12?
12 days of Christmas.
What the fuck's 12 days of Christmas about anyway?
I don't know.
Partridge
in a pear tree.
Yeah, like, I'm not anything. Like, I'm not an atheist. I'm spiritual, but I'm not like a...
Yeah, I have no idea what that's about.
I have no
Is
idea.
Is it the same as Advent?
I don't fucking know.
We're scientists. We're doctors. We're priests.
Obviously, yes. Confess to me. I want to hear your confessions.
I do
want to
know your sins, for sure.
I do want to. I want to know all the nitty gritty.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about what's up with your period, because I honestly might be bleeding right this moment.
Super.
It's unsure.
Are
Maybe
you protected?
Tomorrow. Nope.
Super.
Okay. Yeah, it's not happening, but I think for a second there, I thought maybe it was going to, but no, I think it's supposed to start tomorrow.
Yeah, no. So, my period. Man, I tell you, for a bit there, I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a 41, 42 in a few months. And probably, I want to say, like, probably 3 years ago, I want to say, maybe 2 years ago, shit started to go sideways. Like, real, like, off kilter. Like, periods that were like so fucking painful. Like I'm not even a person that takes like Tylenol or Advil or anything like that, like for pain, but I was literally like, juice me up. Like, please get me the morphine drip. Like I'm fucking dying. I'm crying. I'm in so much pain. So, but then other things started to happen at the same time that were at the time seemingly unrelated, but as I've kind of done a little bit of research, again, I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure that they're related. So I started to get worsening anxiety, dizzy spells. I had something, oh my God, this was so insane. So I actually had something, oh fuck, what's it called? I ended up having flu-like symptoms. It came on quick like the flu. You know how the flu comes on and you think you're fine. And the next thing you know, you're like hit a wall and you're just fucking dying. Well, that happened to me probably, let's say 9 months ago or whatever. So I'm at the store, I'm doing my thing. I'm like, la-di-da. All of a sudden I'm like, fuck. Like, I think I have the flu. I even closed the store for the next day because I'm like, pretty sure I have the flu. No fever, no nothing. All of a sudden it left as soon, like as fast as it came on, it was gone. So I take the doctor Google because I'm like, fuck, I'm calling my doctor. She doesn't really pay attention when I talk. So I find out though that like the period flu is an actual fucking thing. And apparently it is caused by when you have like a sudden burst of like hormones. And then your body gets fatigued and all these things. And it feels like the flu. So shit like that starts to happen. You know, periods that are literally like filling my cup, my disc in like an hour.
No.
It would be full.
Ugh, yes. That's a lot of liquid.
It's a lot of liquid. So I go to the doctor. They're like, okay, we'll do the things. And I had to get a lovely ultrasound up in my vagine. It is the most uncomfortable thing ever. And like, it's just, it's almost more uncomfortable because the person doing it is like, I've had it twice. And this time it was a lovely, like older Indian lady. And she was so sweet. Like, she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, does this hurt? And I'm like, yeah, it's not comfortable. But you don't want to make her feel bad because she's hurting you because she's just doing her job. So I'm like, no, like, I'm good. Like, just keep going. The whole time I'm like, the tears just running down my little eyes. Like, okay. So whatever, turns out I have fibroids, right? Which apparently is something that can happen in perimenopause. You know, and I've been to my doctor and I'm saying, like, I think I'm in perimenopause, like I'm having all these things, and like there are symptoms that I can't even like, I'll remember them in 3 days. I'll be like, yeah, that's a symptom too. But like the night sweats, like the night sweats are fucking brutal. So I go to my doctor and I'm like, I think this is happening to me, you know, can you guys help me out? So they do a blood test. They're like, no, you don't have the menopause. I'm like, I didn't say I had menopause. I said I am perimenopausal. So this is like basically perimenopause, from what I understand, is like all of the things leading up to the big pause. Okay. And it can start is like, you could start at 35 and most women by the time they're like, you know, 45 are gonna be in perimenopause. They're gonna be experiencing these symptoms. And they vary, right? Like from person to person. And I'm learning that like a blood test doesn't necessarily, because your hormones go like up and down all the time. So they have like, that's a really bad way actually to do it. But when I tell them like, okay, I have night sweats, they're like, are you waking up and the bed is completely soaked? Like, no, man. Like I'm, but my thighs are slipping together like a fucking slip and slide. It's uncomfortable. Like my bed is like damp.
Yeah.
But
it's not a pool.
It's not a pool. But it's, they're like, no, that's fine. But what the fuck do you mean that's fine? It's not fine.
I only laugh because it's so fucked.
It's so frustrating. I'm like, literally could just bang my head off the table. Like, but they're really excited to, because I tell them, I'm like, having, oh, I had like worsening anxiety symptoms. Like I've always been kind of an anxious person. Like, and that is probably just due to the fact that I have ADHD that's gone unmedicated for ever. But like it got to the point where I was having like heart palpitations. Like I thought I was having a fucking heart attack. Oh, heart palpitations are also a sign of perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they don't care. They're like, here's some anxiety medication. Enjoy that. Fibroids. Here's the fucking pill. Oh, because your fibroid is crazy and you can't have an IUD. So basically, they just want to put me on drugs.
Well, that's because that's what they learn how to do.
Right.
And this story is something I hear from my clients literally all the time. I usually do work with women who are just before that stage, but I do have some women who are menopausal, perimenopausal. And actually, my client today is experiencing like so many of those things and is going through the same thing with her doctor. She's like, listen, this is not normal. Hers is actually different because she hit perimenopause. She was fully menopausal, like fully stopped, and then got her period again. Yeah. She's like, dude, what the fuck is happening? And like her, she's under crazy stress right now. So I'm like, the body is so interesting that it's just like, all right, let's just switch things up, stress you out even more.
Right.
But the doctors, they're just, you know, they're like, well, maybe we could just like put you on the pill to regulate it. It's like, what? How is that your solution? So for her, I like talked to her about these things. Again, I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of work on it and read a lot of books. But I was like, honestly, go to your naturopath. Actually, she didn't have one, so I referred her to a few. And if people are listening and they need some referrals, call at me. And I was just like, listen, here's a few. Look at their sites, look at their Instagram, see who you gravitate towards the most, if you want in-person or online, all that stuff. Go to your naturopath, see what they say to get tested. Then take that. This is because this is what I did with my period problems. Take that. Go to your doctor. Have your doctor recommend those same tests if they're flexible. And that way they're covered. So if I go to my naturopath and she says, get this hormone test, get this thing, get these vitamins, whatever, like vitamin D test or whatever. That's just an example. Vitamin D, we're pretty much all deficient. But anyways, if I was going to do that through her, my testing was going to be a few hundred dollars. I took that same paper. I went to my doctor. I was like, please, can you at least do a couple of these for me? And then I ended up only having to pay like $50 for my testing. Probably vitamin D, because that one they don't cover because we're all friggin' deficient. But so if you take that stuff, go to your doctor. This is Ontario. I don't know about everything else. Then it'll be covered. But because naturopaths aren't like seen the same as doctors, if they recommend you to get tested, it's not covered. It's like such a stupid windabout way. But the naturopaths are aware of the fact that the fact that your cycle changes, and they will be like, yo, if you're going to get these hormones tested, get it tested at this point in your cycle. Or like, you know, if you don't have a frequent cycle, then do it at this time, blah, blah, blah. And they have different ranges for what is acceptable, because your doctor will be like, well, you're within range, you're fine. But a naturopath will be like, technically, yes. And also you're in like the bottom 10%, which means it's still low. So they'll still help you and treat you. And they're also not only looking at blood results, they're looking at symptoms too, because sometimes your blood results literally don't show things for a lot of different reasons. So they're going to treat your symptoms, not just your, based on blood work and saliva and all these other things. And again, they have different ways to test things. They have urine tests, they have saliva tests, they have blood tests, they have like sit to stand tests for your adrenals, like all these other things that they can do. They can do acupuncture, and honestly, huge advocate for naturopaths, because that's how I fixed my period problems. But it's wild.
Yeah.
They just ignore you.
It's really crazy. Like I actually, so years ago, and I can't remember where I heard it, that you get to tell your doctor
mm-hmm.
what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So when my doctor is like, okay, no, you're fine. You're too young to be menopausal, which I keep telling them, no, I'm not saying I'm menopausal. I'm saying this is perimenopause. So these are the hormonal changes leading up to fucking menopause. I'm your doctor. And I don't know why I have to tell you this. So I got fed up and I'm like, all right, I'm like, that's fine. I need you to refer me to this gynecologist because I've had experience with her before. Really love her. And they will refer, like you can tell them.
Yeah.
Like they work for you.
Yeah,
it's not the other way around. So, you know, be your own advocate. I think like if you are like, nope, this is what's happened to me, because I gotta tell you, like when they first told me like, there's nothing wrong with you, I laughed and I cried in my car. Cause I was like, I felt crazy. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? There's nothing wrong with me. Like, I'm not insane. I'm not making this up. But when they dismiss you, you feel like, you're just okay, like I guess like I'm fucking fine, this is my life now, which is not, that's not the way it is. Like, it's fucked up. So you know, be your own advocate. I told them, I was like, nope, this is what I need. So I'm on a wait list right now because it's hard and you have to wait a while, and because I'm not like on death's doorstep or pregnant, you know, I'm at the bottom of the barrel for the gynecologist. But like, whatever, like, I'll wait for her if I have to, or shop around for a new doctor if I have to. But I don't know if it's because of my age or like because I look young that they're like, no. But
they should have your birthday in your file.
They do, but it's still like, I don't know. But yes, I realize that 41 isn't old necessarily, but I'm not 20.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not operating on.
Yeah, please remember, I do have a 20-year-old.
Right, like, so it's fucked up, but.
Yeah, that's a huge, honestly, like, to re-say that, always advocate for your needs, and I have an experience that I can share about that as well. And also, there was another point that you said. Oh, the, like, that is something I hear, honestly, with almost every woman, is, like, I feel like I'm going crazy and no one is fucking helping me. And everyone's like, well, that's just anxiety. That's just a panic attack. That's just stress.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, someone needs to fucking listen to these women when they say,
yeah,
I feel like something's different. Whether it be like a change of medication, going on the pill, going off the pill, perimenopause, like any, we go through so many different hormone changes through our life, and like, just how are we not taught about this shit? You know, like, you're like, one day you will start bleeding. Here is a pad or a tampon. Now you are a woman. Good luck.
Yeah. It even like through the month.
Yeah.
Like, you go through so many hormonal changes just throughout your own cycle.
Yeah.
That, you're going to feel fatigued. You're going to feel energetic. You're going to feel horny. You're going to feel all these things. Mm-hmm. Your hormones are just like doing a little dance.
They're doing a little dance, making a little love down tonight. I just did a call with Free and Feminine, the group, on for a full hour talking about how our hormones work. So if people are interested and they're like, I don't know what my body do, you can hit me up and we can have a chat. I mean, it's a whole other podcast episode to talk about when your estrogen rises, when your progesterone rises, what LH is, what is FSH, why do we do certain things? What is ovulation? What is menstruation? And I don't want to get into it all right now, but I got a damn whole slideshow.
Oh.
And we're not going to do that on the podcast, but there's so much, there's so much that I don't even want to get into it right now. But honestly, it's really important. And also, really, if you are on different types of birth controls, just look up what they do to your body, because my story was, I can, again, this could be a whole other episode, but my story was that I was on the pill for years and not even having sex, but I was too scared to come off it, because then I would have to have the conversation with my mom that I was then sexually active to go back on it, and then have to go to the doctor. I was like, I might as well just stay on it. So for no apparent reason, I was on it when I wasn't having sex, from like, because my period was so bad, I went on it at like 15, 16. And I don't think I even had sex with someone until like, I don't know, 20, 21. I feel like I was on it for 5, 6 years without even sleeping with anyone, because I was too scared to have a talk with my mom and my doctor. I didn't know about women's health clinics and stuff. And I didn't know that your bleed while you're on the pill is a fake bleed. I didn't even have to bleed. I didn't know the difference between ovulation and menstruation. I didn't know that when I was on the birth control pill, I wasn't ovulating. I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
And I'm not anti-birth control anything. I'm just pro know what you're on, know what it does to your body, know the effects, because everything is different. The copper IUD has different benefits to the hormonal IUD. The birth control pill has different things to that, and the patch and the NuvaRing, and they're yeah. all so different, and they all affect your cycle differently. So when I talk to people about hormone shifts throughout the month, it really depends, because some of them are flatlined, because that's the point of their birth control, is to not have hormone peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this isn't relevant to you because your estrogen is not rising during this part, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say for people who are wondering about these things, there's a few really good books. I would look into Beyond the Pill by Jolene Brighton. I would look up Period Repair Manual by Lara Bryden. Their names are very similar. Bryden instead of Brighton. Brighton is Jolene. Then there's the Fertility Awareness Method book. I didn't get through that one because it's actually massive. The Vagina Bible. I started it and I was just like sick of these types of books by then, so didn't finish it. I think I'm forgetting a really good one. There's a new one by Jolene Brighton that I'm definitely going to read. It's called Is This Normal? Which is honestly, like, I think it's going to be amazing because she is my number one go-to person for this. Oh, I know what I forgot. Maybe this is Lara Bryden. Oh no, this is Sarah E. Hill. Sarah E. Hill has a book called This Is Your Brain on Birth Control.
Mm.
Fucking changed my whole, it just rocked my world. She's unbelievable. And she's very active on Instagram. Like, I would share her book and she's like replying and talking to me. She's yeah. super cool. So Lara Bryden, Jolene Brighton, Sarah E. Hill. And then there's another girl. I can't think of what her name is. I think she's the author of the Vagina Bible. I can look it up. Those are people I would really trust. Jolene Brighton's, and I don't know if I told you this, her website for under articles, if you look up perimenopause, if you look up the pill, if you look up woman's cycle, if you look up like seed cycling, cycling your workouts with your cycle, anything hormones, she is the gal. She's honestly the goat. So if anyone has anything that they need to look up, I would trust her more than most people. She's a holistic naturopathic MD. Like, I think she's an MD but also a naturopath, could be wrong, but I'm just looking up this girl's name. Vagina Bible, what the heck is her name? Oh, Jen Gunther, I think. Yeah, Jen Gunther is a good one. There's also, I think it's a, is it a Goop episode or a series? There's a series of something on Netflix where all these gals are in a documentary. Period authors. I don't know if that's going to work.
Goop, like, why Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, I don't know if it was hers. There's like just a series. I know she's hit or miss for people, but there's a series on Netflix that has like a period episode. Can't think of what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Gwyneth lost all credibility for me when she decided to make a candle to smell like her vagina.
Did she? Apparently, that's a fair. I've heard people literally wipe their own junk on their like wrists or neck because their pheromones. If you're ovulating,
and I'm like, that's cool, that's fine. But like, I mean, if I want to smell any vulva, any vagina, it's gonna be my own. Like, I don't want Gwyneth's fucking pheromones all up in my nose. Like, I'll get my own. It was just weird for me. I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. I guess people will do anything for a dollar.
Well, then there's also the friggin' we get so distracted.
We do.
But like the period, period facials or whatever. Remember when that was a thing where it was like blood, vampire facials? Is that what they called it? Something weird.
Yeah. So vampire facials.
Not weird, everyone. Sorry. I won't yuck your yum. Something interesting.
No, vampire facials were platelet-rich plasma, so it's PRP. So okay. It's like they take your blood, they put it in like a centrifuge, they like separate the platelets. I don't know. I'm not a nurse, so I'm probably not explaining it completely right. But then they like microneedle it into your skin, which does have benefits. But yeah, like it's not like your period blood. Maybe there's a facial for your period blood.
That was a thing for a minute there. And then there was literally naturopaths and stuff on my Instagram going, do not do that.
Yeah, no. Like, why would you want to use your period blood? That's like a shedding of the lining of your uterus. Yeah. Not like, that's not for it. Like, that's old.
Right.
Yuck.
Me and Sarah were actually talking, the photographer, were talking about this the other day. We were like, if it's coming out of your body, it's probably supposed to be leaving your body. Don't put it back in. Right?
Like, that's your body's, like, garbage disposal. You know what I mean? Like, it's getting rid of things it doesn't need. Like, would you rub shit on your face? Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, that's your body's excrement. Like,
I will say, this is, like,
if you're going to tell me about drinking piss.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But this is a hot topic, but I do think it's interesting, and I don't have a kid, but the, like, placenta, when people are, like, eating that, it's the placenta, right? That people...
Yeah.
I'm not anti that. For some reason, that one makes more sense to me.
I don't know really anything about it.
Me neither.
And I mean... I
but I do know people who are in, like, they're like, yeah, it's got tons of health benefits.
Sure. I don't know. If that's what you want to do, that's okay. And if there's science to back it, then cool. Lots of people keep blood from the cord, the umbilical cord, because there's like stuff in there that can help your kids in the future if they get ill or something. Yeah. I don't really know a lot about it, but it's like an expense. Like you have to pay to have it taken and have it kept for you. But I don't know. Like when I had Ian... when I had my oldest, oh my god, his dad was like fucking horrified. They asked if I wanted to see the placenta, and I'm like, yes, like this has been like living in me for the last like 10 months, because 9 months is just, I don't know why they say 9 months. You're That's literally crazy. Pregnant for 10 months, sometimes longer. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see it. And then I was like, can I touch it?
It was in your body, so...
It's mine, technically. I grew it my damn self. And I touched it, and it was weird. But, oh my god, he was horrified. He was like, Cassie, what the fuck? Why did you just do that? And I'm like, what? A girl can't be curious?
I would touch it.
Yeah, it was the neatest thing to look at.
They are cool.
They're very cool. They almost... look like something from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, though. Like, you imagine this thing, like, slinking across, finding a host. Like, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole different topic, I guess. But it was really cool and very, like, otherworldly is, like, the thing that comes to mind, like, the word that comes to mind.
Yeah. So many of my friends are doulas or becoming in that world. And I'm just like, whoa. Whenever they post the shit, I'm like, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. Like, you're supposed to wait for the, again, I'm not a fucking doctor, everyone. You're supposed to wait for the umbilical cord. You're not supposed to, but you can wait for the blood to, like, come out of it because it's, like, pulsing at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was literally just, like, attached to you and stuff before you cut it. And the blood, like, drips back down into, I don't know, into the baby or into the placenta, whatever. You're supposed to, like, wait a minute, but they're always so active to, like, cut it right away.
Yeah.
But it's, like, still pulsating and, like, they're still, like, it's still full of blood. So they want it to, like, go to the appropriate thing. So I don't know.
I have no idea. That's very interesting.
Does it go to the baby or is it going to the placenta? Honestly, I have no idea.
I don't know. They didn't give me an option, though. They give you no options when you have your baby in a hospital. Yeah. And if I had it to do all over again, I would have just had my kids at home.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, the things that I was put through, I felt like, were really traumatic to my body. And my osteopath will tell you that my body is, like, really messed up. Like, pelvic-wise, lower back, hips, all that, like, region is all, like, messed up from, basically from that.
Wild, hey?
Yeah. It's a traumatic experience.
Being a woman. That's what this episode is.
Being a woman, man.
Like, honestly, that's the title episode.
It's hard.
What? Episode title.
Hard work. Yes.
I got one last story from going back, circling back to advocating for your own needs. This is not about periods. However, it is about ADHD. Did I tell you that I went to the psychiatrist last week?
Yes.
Did I tell you what happened?
No, you didn't tell me.
Honestly, I swear, I'm like, why are my doctors fucking men, like old men? Again, there's nothing wrong. They are smart. They know what's going on for the majority of the time. But why did I not, when I was younger, go, I want a woman doctor? Just like, they just see things fucking differently. They experience things. Or like, I don't know.
Or maybe
there's obviously more than two genders. I'm just also going to throw that out there. So anything besides just like an old man. They're not both white. So at least there's some differences there.
Or a doctor that's been practicing medicine in the last, like, let's say 20 years and not the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not completely convinced that all doctors keep up with the new scientific research and findings and things like that. So I do find that, like, sometimes an older doctor, they're stuck in their ways and they just don't know. And I do find, especially like older men, like men over 50, they really dismiss women in general.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on that, like, it's fine. Like, go have a smoke and some bourbon. Like, it'll take care of everything. Like, yeah. It's a very old way of looking at shit.
Imagine my doctor said, go have a dart.
Well, I mean, like, that's what doctors, like, the 50s, right? We're prescribing. We're like, oh, like, you're feeling anxious. It's fine. Just go have some cigarettes, drink some scotch. Wine there, have some scotch, whatever. Just get drunk and, murder yourself slowly with the cigarettes. That's
and
fine.
They would just call, they would say, it's hysteria. Women are hysterical.
No, we're not getting hysterical. I'm going to get hysterical if you keep dismissing me.
Oh my God.
Burn your office down, motherfucker.
Thank God I live in this fucking decade or I'd lose my mind.
But yes, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, I think a doctor that's been practicing medicine the last like 20 years even would be better than like an old person.
Yeah, I highly, 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 highly recommend people you do need an MD for certain things, again, to get things like covered and to get referrals and things like that. If you can afford it or if you have benefits, I highly recommend naturopathic doctors because they're so much more holistic in their findings. And they're not like, uh-oh, you have a boo-boo here. That's not related to anything else in your body. That's only here. Put a Band-Aid on it. Whereas a naturopath would be like, all these symptoms are leading to this. Let's look into it. Just kind of like an osteopath isn't like, oh, your toe hurts. That's just because your toe hurts. They're like, oh, that's because your ankle's not moving properly. And up the chain, this knee's not moving properly. And they're looking at the holistic way of things, which is why I went to school for holistic nutrition, because they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Anything you can do to look at things as a whole, your body is a whole fucking thing. It's not just one symptom. There's always things going to be related. There's things pumping through your body at all times and everything's moving around. And if it's not moving around, that's also a fucking issue, you know?
Yeah.
Anywho, so to go back, I went to the psychiatrist for my ADHD meds and was like, it's funny now, but it's like, honestly, I almost cried as well. And I barely ever cry, which is a problem that I work on. But I went in there and was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's not that great. It's fine. If I do take even like 3/4 of a dose, I feel anxious. So I'm usually just taking like the morning one and not like the afternoon one like you recommended. And I don't know. I just feel like it wears off and blah, 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 blah. He's like, okay, so like we'll keep trying it. I was like, what? we'll basically just keep doing the same thing. I was like, well, isn't there like other options? Like, yeah, but they actually wear off sooner. So now you should probably just stick with what you're on. And I was like, okay, isn't there? And then I'm the one who knows more about what to ask than most people. So I'm like, okay, well, there's non-stimulant versions of ADHD meds. Like, what about that? Maybe it's the stimulants that are causing me to have anxiety. And he's like, yeah, I don't really work that well. So nah. Okay, well, maybe you're just feeling anxious when you take the afternoon one because your body's not used to it. So just like keep taking it until your body gets used to it. So I'm like, okay, is there a way to like balance the anxiety with something else? Hoping he would be like, in a holistic way, like, I know, for example, that like B vitamins are anti-stress and like adaptogens and all this stuff. I'm like, there's no way this fucking guy knows that stuff, but just like, well, let's just see. Is there, or like, I thought maybe he'd say something to like calm your nervous system, like at least like meditation, go for a walk. Nope. He's like, no, not really. Just like be consistent and maybe don't take any days off so that your body gets used to it. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So you're telling me to feel normal, I have to go through worse. It just doesn't make any sense. But with no help of how to get through that stage, just like kind of, here you go, deal with it. You just keep doing the same thing and come back in January. And he starts like writing out my January appointment. I was like, okay. Like, I understand what he's saying as like, your body has to adapt to it. I get his thought process. But it was almost like he just like let it come in one ear, out the other. And then within like, I don't know, 10 to 20 minutes, you're in, out, and you have a next appointment booked and you don't even know what the fuck happened to you.
Yeah.
It was literally like, huh, sir, what did you just hear? I like got back to my car and was like, wait a minute. Did he hear anything I just said?
No.
Like, I heard what he was saying. I understand your point of like, yeah, your body's just not used to it. So it's like getting a lot of stimulation. So that's why. And I was the one who had to advocate for my needs, being like, listen, I don't want 20 milligrams, 20 milligrams, it's way too much. So I got 20 and 10. But even that 10 sometimes throws me overboard. So that's what we're talking about like the afternoon dose. Yeah, it's just wild to me. Like, how is that your...
Did you have anxiety before? Or you
not diagnosed anything? It's more like, literally, I don't know what triggered it. If it's where I am in my life, is it that it was COVID or was it me starting my business? But at like age 25, when COVID hit, I started a business and I was like saving to buy a house, then had a house, like all of that at the same time. I have experiences of anxiety, but it's not like a chronic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't go
and
get diagnosed, but I do experience it for sure. Yeah.
That's fucked up. And you tell him, like, the medication is, like, giving me anxiety.
Amplifying it. Yeah.
It's making it worse. And he's just like, it's cool. Just, you keep taking your medication. It's fine.
Take it, but take it more.
Right. Like, just, oh, yeah, it's giving you anxiety. Take more.
And I honestly thought maybe, and I'm like, again, I feel like in every episode, I'm just like trying to justify other people's actions, but I do see what he's saying and I am going to try it because it actually might work, but like, at least make me feel like you listen to me and be like, that's normal. This happens.
Yeah.
Here's how you can combat it. Or like, I don't know, go for a walk around the time that you take it, or like, make sure you eat at the same time, or make sure you're drinking a lot of water, or like literally anything, make me feel like you're trying to help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I will say, because I'm pretty sure I know which doctor you saw.
Yeah. There's not many.
Starts with a B?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I know exactly who you saw. So the thing is, in our area,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, like, he should have been kinder, but in our area, I think we have like all of like two or three psychiatrists that you can, that your doctor would refer you to.
Mm-hmm.
And our city is growing like crazy. So imagine that, like, all the mentally ill people, and then all the people who have ADHD and anxiety and whatever, like, that need these medications are all being diverted to these like 2-3 people.
Yeah.
So they only have so many like minutes, right? And I guess I'm kind of defending him, but I mean, I guess he's probably just overwhelmed, which sucks. But I remember taking my oldest to go see him, and he was like, kind of came out and he was really frustrated. And he's like, I don't even know, like, what happened? Like,
what? Oh, you meant that the psychiatrist came out like,
no. No. My oldest son took him to the psychiatrist because he's ADHD, and he just went in and like Lexa came out and was like, I don't even know what happened. And I'm trying to like get it out of him, and he's literally like, I don't know. Like, I don't not even know what happened in that conversation. Like, basically, he's just like, here's your prescription.
Yeah.
You know, but not everybody is going to be okay with that. Like, some of us, most of us, I would say, want to have our questions answered and feel like you give a shit and like that our symptoms are being heard.
Yeah.
You know, and not just like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's like back to going to the doctor for like your yeah. perimenopausal symptoms. Like, you know, I get it because they'll just tell you, oh, it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. Yes, it's normal that my body is changing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. These symptoms, yep, they vary from person to person, and yet they are totally normal. But you know, suffering is an option,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah. help me not to suffer.
Right.
Right.
And actually, I want to clarify, some of these things are common and not normal. Like we yes. are experiencing these things because of so many different factors in our society, like whether it be like environmental toxins, whether it be yes. like the food industry now, whether it be the stress that we have, whether it be like the hustle mentality that we're in, whether it be like so many fucking other things. Some of these things, again, this is, I haven't even read the book yet, but I have a feeling Julian Brighton's book, Is This Normal?, is like going to be very impactful because some of these things are common and they happen to a lot of us. We normalize them, but they shouldn't be like that. It's like extremely painful fucking periods. I mean, yes, there's endometriosis, but we shouldn't be in severe pain for a lot of the month as normally cycling women. It that's normalized, but it's not actually supposed to be like that. We can balance our hormones and figure things out.
Yeah.
But again, everyone's trying to slap a band-aid on it or be like, ah, we're fine, grow up, grow some dirt in it. You know? Right.
Grow some balls,
throw some dirt in it.
Yeah,
and I'm
man.
Like, listen, grow some balls, grow a fucking uterus and tell me how it is.
My goodness, yeah.
So I guess as a final thoughts, there's a few. I understand that there, as an industry, doctors and psychiatrists and everyone is overworked, like you were saying. And
yeah.
they also are only doing the best that they can do.
Yeah.
But advocate for your own needs, like you said, and get second opinions. I would
yeah.
highly fucking recommend, especially if you're like, before I went on my ADHD meds, I asked people who were on different types of medication. I asked my psychotherapist, and I talked to my doctor, and I talked to my psychiatrist, and I talked to a different psychiatrist, and I, you know, I was talking to everyone I possibly could about this. It actually was very helpful in opening the conversation. So many people I know had ADHD yeah. and have been going through this, and I didn't know. So now I'm super open about it because they've been, you know, dealing with this in silence. So advocate for your needs, get second opinions. If you feel like whoever you're seeing is only treating the top tier symptom and putting a band-aid on it or throwing a pill at it or an injection or something, or a surgery, always see if you can see someone in the field that's more holistic. So you're getting a second opinion from a different view as well,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to look at things completely differently. And again, not a doctor, not in anything. I just have gone through a lot of different complications with my health, and knowing that there's always something else out there
mm-hmm.
that if it's not working for you. And this is honestly a good reminder to me. I might talk to a naturopath about different focus things. So maybe we'll see. I don't know. The meds for ADHD were just kind of a trial, but now that I'm going back to school, it's going to be interesting to see what actually works the best. If there's like a more holistic way around it, or am I just going to have to get used to it? I don't know.
Get used to having the ADHD?
Get used to having the, like, the anxiety in the afternoon and let it go away. Probably
yeah.
just less coffee. I don't know.
Having anxiety, I can tell you, like, anxiety is like a motherfucker. Like, your anxiety tells you things that, like, aren't true. It's like a little liar in your brain, you know? But I have been diagnosed as ADHD, and I don't take ADHD medication because I actually view it as, like, I call it like my superpower because though I'm like really, I'm kind of all over the fucking map sometimes. Like I focus on the things that like it helps me with. Like I can get a lot of things done in a short period of time. You know, it helped me to like think outside the box. I think like, I can see, like, especially like with my kids, like when they're doing things that like, let's say my normal brained family is like, what, why are they doing it like that? I'm like, oh no, they're doing it like that because, and I get like, I'm breaking it down. They're like, oh, I'm like, no, it makes sense. Total sense. Like, just let them,
yeah.
You know, and like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it just, it makes sense. So, but
yeah.
But as a woman, ADHD doesn't get diagnosed usually until later in life. So yeah. Most women just learn to like
deal. Mask it.
Well, I don't know if I masked it. So maybe.
I think I masked it.
Yeah.
By like working harder in school.
Oh, no. In school, literally, my teachers were like, they would get so frustrated with me. And I think they were just, I think they thought I was stupid.
Yeah.
Because I like, you could be talking directly to me and I would just be like, what?
Yeah, literally.
I don't know. Or just fucking
dumb blonde or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gave up on me. But I mean, once I got to like later grades in high school and stuff, like I could focus really well on stuff if I just told myself I was going to.
Mine was all over the place. I think this should be a whole other episode.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should talk about our processes and when we got diagnosed and how it went and stuff. That'd be a good episode.
I only got diagnosed like a year ago.
Yeah, same. Whoa.
Yeah.
And the average of women getting diagnosed, I think, is 35 or older. It's like something psycho like
that.
Oh,
it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to look it up. We got to look up some stats. And I'll do a story of my period journey on an episode too. But again, there's so much to say for these topics.
Yeah. It can't, like, it's hard to compact it into like a little.
And when we're ADHD, we got to talk about all the things.
Oh, yeah.
From peeing your pants to ADHD to perimenopause.
I just choked on my own spit.
Yeah. That's a wrap because that's how we started it off.
I just choked. Cut.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time, follow Cassie on Instagram at GetSomeBrant and Dee on Instagram and TikTok at Vitamin.Dee.